All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got the legend, Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet. Been calling Laker games since 1987. Stu, thank you very much for taking some time and joining the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, listen, we'll get started right away. Lakers, obviously, a big win yesterday, up 2-0 over the Denver Nuggets. You've been watching basketball and covering basketball for a long time. How do you look at yesterday's game? Do you look at it as a game that the Lakers got away with, or is this just one of those predicament situations when you get this deep into the playoffs, you get them any way you can?
You get them any way you can. Yesterday's game was some resiliency. You know, they went up by double digits, but they're playing against a team that just is right now playing really loose again, and they've got so much confidence in their ability to come back from deficits. Once you do that once or twice, you really start to feel good about yourselves, and they've done it a couple of times now, so they don't really feel like they're out of any game. So the Lakers have to continue to keep their focus no matter what the score.
Stu, how much does that have to do with the fact that it's such a young team? You know, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, neither of those players who are certainly the stars for the Nuggets, they've never been in this situation before. You got Mike Malone, the coach of the Denver Nuggets, continuing to kind of send a message of nobody believes in us, nobody believes we can do anything. Being in a predicament like this, does it sometimes play to the advantage of a younger team because they've just never been in this predicament before? They don't know what to expect.
Well, I don't know if it has anything to do with not knowing what to expect. I mean, the games, whether it's a playoff game or a preseason game, when you step out on the court, from a mental standpoint, you just do the same things, so to speak. But I think the fact that they are underdogs, they feel like they've got nothing to lose. Like Malone has been telling his crew, everybody has been, you know, not giving them the respect, so go out and just have some fun. Mm. And, you know, young guys can do that. They go out, they do have a lot of fun. They don't really think about the consequences as much, and as a result, they play pretty free.
Stu, tomorrow Lakers will have a chance, you know, and I feel like I've said this every game, every series, but they're up 2-0, so tomorrow obviously a critical game. If Lakers win tomorrow, you have such a stranglehold on the series, and it's going to be nearly impossible for Denver to come back. I say that because what kind of game do you expect from the Lakers tomorrow? They've been in situations where they took a 2-1 series lead, and then that critical game 4 where this becomes a series or the Lakers take over. Lakers took over against Portland. They took over against Houston. How tough of a game is that tomorrow in a game 3 situation? And the Lakers in this spot having a chance to completely take over the series?
Well, it's going to be a very, very tough game tomorrow. I think it's going to be much tougher than the other two series, and it's going to all depend on how the Lakers start out. They've got to continue to have the good starts and get into their rhythm, so to speak, and put the Nuggets in a position where they know they're going to have to come back again. Don't let this young team get out and be front runners. I think the Lakers are going to really concentrate on the way they prepare for the start of the game and then let everything else unfold.
Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Stu, as we look to tomorrow, and I want to just go back to yesterday's game real quick. Of course, Anthony Davis, that big shot, that three-pointer to win it for the Los Angeles Lakers. He does it at the buzzer. Kind of one of those big-time moments and situations for a player that's never been in this spot before, never been this close to an NBA championship. Lakers just 6 games away. How critical, how important do you think that is, that was for Anthony Davis as I guess you could say, just looking at his career and where he needs or where he's going to propel his career to go?
Yeah, well, big-time players make big-time plays. And, you know, when he received that pass, I don't think not one iota of that crossed his mind that he had never been in that situation before. He just instinctively did what he does, and that's make big plays. I mean, you kind of expect certain things from certain players, and it's always the supporting cast that I think that have the deciding factors, because we take a lot for granted from your stars, LeBron and AD. We take a lot for granted for them, and they've been producing. So I think AD just is very, very fortunate to be in a position he is with the Lakers, and he's very happy to be in the Western Conference Finals for the first time.
Well, I love it, Stu, when you say big-time players make big-time plays, and you're right. And that was, you know, certainly a big-time play for Anthony Davis. And I loved it was him, too, just getting that opportunity in this type of predicament to come through for the Lakers. Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets tomorrow. Will be Game 3 tip-off at 6 o'clock. Overall, how do you think, Stu, for the Lakers in this series against the Denver Nuggets, and really you could even look back to Portland and the Houston Rockets as well, how do you think the supporting cast is doing? So much of the time we talk about the big stars, and maybe we pay less attention to those role players, but you know, as we all know, role players can be the difference of winning a championship or not. How do you think the Lakers' role players have come through so far?
I think the Lakers role players have done well. I really do. And I think they're going to have to continue if the Lakers are going to continue to advance. I mean, when you look at the Lakers' top two guys, they get all the attention. But you don't win. You do not win championships without an entire team, without everybody contributing. You may not be the same one or two guys that are so-called role players doing their job every night, but you have to have one or two of those role players doing their jobs, and the Lakers have really been doing a pretty good job of that, whether it's been Caruso, Rondo, you know, Morris. I mean, they've had a number of guys that have stepped up and been getting the job done.
Stu, do you think Rondo, when he came back, in the second round against the Houston Rockets, virtually, I feel like every time I'm doing the post-game show, I'm talking about how he either has double digits in assists, or he's close to it, 8 or 9 or something along those lines. What do you think that's done for the coaching staff? What do you think that's done for a player like LeBron James? How has Rondo eased things up a little bit on the offensive end, where maybe all the pressure is not on LeBron to be the scorer and the facilitator?
Yeah, I mean, with Rondo on the floor, that really helps LeBron tremendously, because Rondo is a guy that has been there, done that. He's been in the finals. He's seen these scenarios before, and he creates for others as well. And then, you know, there are times when, you know, he's shown that he can be an offensive-minded player as well. So if he can just keep that body of his healthy and continue to contribute, the Lakers are going to be in great shape.
Stu Lance, Lakers TV color commentator on Spectrum Sportsnet, been the color commentator since 1987, taking some time to join Lakers Talk here. Stu, you think we're giving enough credit to this coaching staff, specifically Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, and really what I'm referring to is not just this postseason run, but what they've been able to do all season long. Is there enough praise going to the coaching staff?
Well, there, you know, when you have stars like LeBron and Anthony Davis, a lot of times people totally overlook the staff, because they say, hey, you're supposed to be doing this or that with that kind of a talented twosome. But, you know, it takes more than a twosome to do the job, and I think the staff has done a remarkable job of not only getting the two stars to buy in to the system, but also to create an atmosphere for the rest of the team to really feel a part, and that's what it takes. You have to really sell the system to everybody, and once you do that, you can have success.
Stu, Nikola Jokic yesterday had a great game. I mean, you just look at his stats, specifically in the second half. He was fantastic for the Denver Nuggets. When he's having success, what is it that he's doing? When the Lakers are containing him, what are some of the strengths of what the Lakers have done to contain him? Can you kind of look at the positives and the negatives when it comes to trying to play Jokic?
Well, the positives is trying to make him give up the basketball, because he's so unorthodox in a lot of the things that he does that he catches you, the defender, a little bit off balance, not knowing when or which foot he's going to jump off of, how he's going to shoot it. You know, the guy is just a tremendous talent. So I think the Lakers have done, you know, when they've needed to, they've gotten the job done. But they're going to need to every minute of the game here from this point forward.
What do you expect tomorrow from Denver? How desperate of a team do you think the Lakers are going to see, and how dangerous of a team can Denver be simply because they're down 2-0? And you know, like you mentioned a little bit earlier in the conversation, that they're really a team that just has nothing to lose.
Yeah, they're going to come out smoking tomorrow. They're going to be so fired up. So the Lakers have to make sure that they, you know, stay right there at the very beginning, not let that young team get off to a good start, because that young team knows one thing. They've come back from 3-1, where they've won three games in a row. But if you go down 3-0, you've got to win four games in a row. And to do that against a great team, that's very difficult.
Stu Lance joining Lakers Talk right here. Stu, you've seen many championship teams over the years wearing the purple and gold. What are some of those characteristics some of those characteristics that you see in a championship team? And do you see this Lakers team having a lot of those characteristics that have helped win 16 NBA championships?
Unity. The players, it's all about all for one. You know, you look over there at that sideline, and you see the players that are not getting much action or any action at all, and they are the biggest cheerleaders that their teammates could have. There's no fans, per se, so they need to have some support from their teammates. And the guys on the sideline are really getting the job done.
Stu, final one, and as always, you know, we greatly appreciate your time, and I know Laker fans out there love getting your insight, your thought process, and certainly to do it in the middle of the postseason means a lot. Final one, what do you think winning a championship this season would mean to this franchise, mean to this fan base, mean to the Buss family? And I know you still need six more games. You got two more against Denver. You still got to figure out, and then Miami or Boston in the NBA Finals. But what do you think it would mean for this franchise and this fan base?
Well, obviously, number 17 would be so sweet for this franchise. I mean, and it would also validate what they've been preaching for so many years now. You know, it's been 10 years since they've been able to raise that trophy, and they'd be able to raise that trophy talking about, we're back.
Stu, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, and hopefully we could catch up. And maybe next time we talk, we're talking about number 17.
That would be great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Stu. Thank you very much. It's Stu Lance right there. Man, I can't tell you how much, you know, when you listen to somebody for so long, obviously him and Chick Kern were such an incredible duo, and now with Bill McDonald, another great combination there. It's great to just get a chance to talk to Stu. Love talking to Stu. Okay, when we come back, I want to propose this and talk a little bit about Game 3. What do you expect in Game 3? If you're a Laker fan out there, here you are. You're up 2-0. Do you expect the Lakers to bury Denver tomorrow and pretty much end this series, or do you think the Lakers give Denver some hope? 877-710-ESPN. That's what we'll get into next. Anthony Slater of The Athletic is going to come up at 8:30. We'll get his perspective a little bit more on the Nuggets side of things. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What should we expect tomorrow night from the Los Angeles Lakers? Do they pretty much end this series against the Denver Nuggets, all but end it? If you go up 3-0, no team has ever came back from 3-0, at least in the NBA. Or do they give the Denver Nuggets some hope? I thought what Stu Lance was saying right there and the time he spent on how difficult tomorrow night's game is going to be, I think that's important. And this is coming from somebody, you know, from a perspective that has obviously been following the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers for a long time. When you're down 2-0, this third game, and I'm assuming this is going to be the approach from the Denver Nuggets, you just got nothing to lose. As devastating as that loss was for the Nuggets in Game 2, they got nothing to lose. So, you know, expectations for tomorrow's game, Michael said this from the beginning. Michael talked about Michael Thompson. Pregame show, by the way, it starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. Michael has always talked about this. He always said coming into the series, it really doesn't have anything to do, and I don't mean this disrespectfully or anything like that. It has nothing to do with the Nuggets. It has to do with the Los Angeles Lakers. If the Lakers play their brand of basketball, if the Lakers are engaged defensively, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Denver's not going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers 4 times out of 7. Now, since they're down 2-0, they got to beat the Lakers 4 games out of 5. 4 games out of 5, this Denver Nuggets team. Kendrick Perkins, who was on, GetUp, I think. On GetUp a little bit earlier this morning, was talking about the Denver Nuggets' chances of trying to make this thing a series. I do want to play this because it jumps off to a point that I want to make.
Green, it's not happening. It's not happening. Not against these Lakers. Not against this championship team. Look, the Lakers had 24 turnovers last night. 16 or 18 of them were unforced. They were playing sloppy basketball. They got bored with the process. The Denver Nuggets, I love how they're competing right now, but they have no chance in winning this series. Matter of fact, Greeny, they might get swept. You know, I had this going five, but they might get swept. No chance in hell of coming back and winning this series.
All right, that's Kendrick Perkins giving his thoughts on the Denver Nuggets. And as you can tell, Kendrick Perkins pretty passionate about his take there that Denver's got no shot. So let me kind of play with this for a little bit. I don't know what happens tomorrow. I really don't. I thought that the first two games, you know, walking in game one, that's kind of a feel-out game. I felt so good after game one thinking, well, Denver can't. I mean, Jokic just got to go up against Dwight Howard. He's got to figure out Anthony Davis. How is this team possibly going to come back against the Los Angeles Lakers? They made game two a game. They had an opportunity to put themselves in a position to win the game at the end, and if it wasn't for an Anthony Davis fadeaway three-pointer, the series is tied 1-1. Tomorrow's game, I think, is going to say a lot about the Los Angeles Lakers. Let me kind of explain here as we walk through the entire postseason exactly what I mean. So let me give an example. Against the Portland Trail Blazers, Lakers dropped the first game. By game four, Lakers were up 2-1. Is this going to be a series, or are the Lakers pretty much going to end it? What do Lakers end up doing? They dominate the Portland Trail Blazers in game four. Series was over when they went up 3-1. All hope was lost for the Portland Trail Blazers. After that, Damian Lillard, you know, we know his injury. That series was over. Lakers lose game one against the Rockets. Fast forward to game four. Game four, Lakers up 2-1 again. Does Houston have a shot in this series if they tie the series up 2-2? Of course they do. Or the Lakers put a complete stranglehold on the series. Lakers ended up winning that game by 10. If you remember, that was a game that Houston came back on. But the Lakers eventually got the W and put themselves in a position where, they dominated that series after getting game four. It was like, all right, the series is over. So I bring that up because what I think tomorrow's game can have some similarities on. If Denver can win tomorrow's game and make this a 2-1 series, and Denver's saying to themselves, I mean, geez, we could potentially be up 2-1 if AD doesn't hit that buzzer beater, now the Denver Nuggets could start building some kind of hope. Now the Denver Nuggets can, in their own little world, they can say to themselves, all right, you know what, we got some growing confidence. That's why I think tomorrow's an interesting one for the Lakers. You either end the series tomorrow, or maybe this is a 6-game set or a 5-game set. I said 6 games before the series started. I know Michael Thompson mentioned 5 games. I've heard a lot of people kind of jump between 5 and 6. And then you got guys like Kendrick Perkins saying they might get swept. So I think, you know, when you put all that together, it's going to be an interesting game tomorrow. And I think we're going to find out what kind of team the Lakers, you know, and they've already proved that they can win these big-time games. The Lakers have already proved that they could put their foot on the gas pedal and continue to play as good as any team in the league, even when they have a series lead. But if you go up 3-0 tomorrow, I think that also sends a message that, you know, the Lakers punch their ticket to the NBA Finals, and the question's going to be, once you get to the NBA Finals, what team is going to come face the Lakers and be an underdog? I think that's the only thing left, and I think that could be determined by tomorrow. Okay, so yesterday when Anthony Davis hits his game winner, I haven't spent enough time on this, and I probably should. You know, we all know that AD mouthed Kobe right after he hit the game winner. Ramona Shelburne was on with On the Jump with Rachel Nichols, and I thought this was interesting. This is a conversation they were having about Anthony Davis, that moment, that predicament, and him finding his inner Kobe, one of the most clutch players to ever play in the game.
Because of the stage, because he wanted to be there. And let's go back to them wearing their Kobe jerseys. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always thinking about Kobe talking about, you know, who was going to be the next standard bearer of this franchise, right? They would always go pursue free agents, whether it was Dwight Howard or Carmelo Anthony, and they wouldn't get them. And Kobe's response was always the same, is we shouldn't have to recruit you to the Lakers. The guy who's going to be at the face of the Lakers is going to want to be here. I shouldn't have to even pitch you. I shouldn't have to explain it to you. You have to want to be here, and you have to want to be in those moments. LeBron James wanted that moment. Anthony Davis wanted that moment. They wanted to be there. And Kobe's right. You know, like, the person who takes on face of the franchise for the Lakers, he's got to want to be that and everything that comes with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I love that from Ramona. Special moment for Anthony Davis. AD after the game, by the way. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear this when we were doing the postgame show yesterday. Anthony Davis explaining not just the shot, but the Kobe part of it.
We just feel like we play a little different. Our swag is a little different. You know, every time we put on those jerseys, obviously, you know, we're representing him. But, you know, especially in those jerseys, you know, it's his jersey, the ones he created. So anytime we put it on, we feel like we want to win. And, you know, Coach made sure that, you know, we knew that, you know, in that huddle. You know, said, I mean, look at the jerseys you have on. You know, he would make big-time plays, so it's time for us to make big-time plays. I think it was like 6 minutes left in the game. And, you know, guys were able to do that. So just looking down at the jersey and Coach telling us is just a constant reminder that, you know, Kobe's with us and we kind of have his spirit in those jerseys.
I mentioned this yesterday in the postgame show. I talked about how I thought the fact that Anthony Davis just naturally, that's what came out of his mouth after hitting a buzzer beater, just kind of shows how a lot of these players, how they view Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe looked at Michael Jordan. That was his idol. That's who he wanted to model his game off of. A lot of these players in the league right now, Kobe was their Michael Jordan, is their Michael Jordan. So when Anthony Davis mouths Kobe after he hits that shot, I've heard so many different players say that their idol is Kobe Bryant. It's no surprise. That's their generation. That's the Michael Jordan of their generation. You hear Damian Lillard talk about it. You see Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Go down the list of all these players. Some of these young players like Trae Young. That's their Kobe Bryant. That's their Michael Jordan is Kobe Bryant. One other thing that I want to play here from head coach Frank Vogel. Again, this is another one that's kind of playing into what that moment was yesterday and how head coach Frank Vogel compared AD's shot, calling it a Mamba moment, a Mamba shot.
Well, we want to embody what Kobe Bryant stood for, you know, and honor his memory. And obviously, you know, there's certain games where we're going to feel it a little bit more than others. You know, when we have that uniform on, I think we feel it more than others. And, you know, that's a shot Kobe Bryant would hit, you know. So to me, you know, AD coming off, you know, that, you know, just flying to the wing like that with a catch and shoot with the game on the line in the biggest moment of our season, nothing but net. It's a Mamba shot.
All right, so Lakers, by the way, game three tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets. I want to spend some time when we come back. So Anthony Slater, who does such a great job for The Athletic, he covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic. I want to get his perspective more from the Nuggets side. He had a great piece that talked about, you know, really everything, the entire game. And we'll get into that here coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. By the way, you miss any part of the show, you can always catch Lakers Talk with myself, Alan Sliwa, on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Catch all full 2 hours. We had Chris McGee on a little bit earlier. Stu Lance joined the show. Anthony Slater coming up next. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back. I want to welcome in Anthony Slater, covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic. Anthony, appreciate you taking the time, my man. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so I want to start off looking at things from a Denver Nuggets point of view. Just your opinion, your thoughts. How devastating do you think that loss was to the Denver Nuggets? They fought back, came back from 16 down, 8 down with just 3 minutes left to go. Of course, AD hits that shot. How tough is this one going to be for the Denver Nuggets to recover from?
Very tough. I mean, you just think about what today would have felt like on the flip side of this. If, let's just say, Davis misses that three, Jokic is the hero. The story of the day is, like, how do the Lakers figure out a way to contain him? We're talking about the second half Nuggets, right? You know, it would have been another double-digit comeback in the second half. And tomorrow, pressure would have felt on the Lakers a lot to start that game. Now, it's very different, obviously. I mean, it's 2-0. The Nuggets have to win four out of the next five over a heavily favored Laker team before the series even started. So if you were thinking Denver had a chance in this series yesterday, was a big blow. And if you wanted to see a long series, a six or seven gamer, maybe NBA ratings people might have wanted to see, that seems like that might be on life support too.
Anthony, why do you think Jokic had so much success in that second half? What do you think that he was doing, or maybe the Lakers weren't doing? What are some of the things that you saw yesterday to see Jokic have so much success?
Yeah, my favorite thing I saw from Denver offensively was they seemed to really figure out doing a lot of off-ball screening with Jokic, and the Lakers were switching. I mean, they just have a switching scheme right now, and they're getting – how many times do you see, like, Caruso on him in the post randomly? Mm-hmm. Like, how did that matchup happen? Because off the ball, they do the screen purposely to get a Caruso, Danny Green at times. KCP was on him in the post, and he had a few, you know, post-up buckets, but where he really found success was the Lakers didn't want him to get those post-up buckets, so they had to swing a double team over there, and he just sees over the defense, the vision, the way he manipulates his eyes. He did it to the Clippers all series, right? Remember that 13-assist game he had in Game 7? He had 9 assists in Game 2 after only 2 in Game 1, and I just thought the way that they manipulated the switches, got him in those favorable matchups, forced the double teams, and let him kind of pick the Lakers apart on cuts and out to three is where he really found the second half success that he hadn't had previously in the series, where the story was kind of like the Lakers were bullying him a bit physically. I mean, it was Dwight Howard. It was even JaVale a little bit, but Davis. So they're just trying to get smalls on Jokic, really.
Anthony, do you see, I mean, can the Denver Nuggets take away, can they see what they did in the second half? Are there a lot of things you think they could take away and bring it into Game 3? Or man, this is going to be, if Lakers don't figure this out or that out, this could be incredibly impactful for the Nuggets the rest of the series. I mean, was there anything that big that you saw that the Nuggets you think can apply the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, and if we're being honest, the Nuggets have outplayed the Lakers the last 24 minutes of this series, right? They were a much better team in the second half. Davis bailed them out. But Denver, if they can get over the emotional letdown of the loss, they do kind of have, like, on-court momentum. Like, even though the Lakers are up 2-0, it kind of feels like they need to make some slight defensive adjustments going into Game 3. What the Lakers have shown, though, in their previous series is their defense gets better as the series goes on. Frank Vogel gets film. He gets in that room. But the Lakers roster is populated with smart veterans who've been here, who've been deep in playoff series, who know how to take film and adjust. And I think they'll probably have a smarter way to, like, you know, kind of avoid those switches off ball, kind of tag the guy and try to get back, not get in as vulnerable situations against Jokic. But there's a reason the Nuggets are here. They do tricky things offensively. They run the hub of their offense from, you know, who people are now saying is maybe the best passing big ever. And then Jamal Murray's always very capable of getting hot. We're talking about a guy who's like 50% from three in the playoffs, basically. So, I mean, Denver's dangerous to win a game. Now, is Denver dangerous to win four out of the next five? No, I don't think so. But I don't think it's going to be like a steamroll in Game 3 by the Lakers.
Anthony Slater, who covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic, joining Lakers Talk. Anthony, in a piece you wrote, in an article, I can't remember if it was last night or this morning, you talked about how AD lacked a moment that drew the nation's attention. Can you expand on that and that shot from Anthony Davis yesterday? How do you think that applies to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think reputationally, he, regardless of his production, it was like top five player, top tier type superstar. The reputation wasn't there.
That is for many reasons, right? I mean, played in New Orleans in a small market most of his career. Kind of has a dull personality. I mean, what's an Anthony Davis quote you remember over the years? The style, even on the court, it's like he's got 29-11, but it's never typically that loud. And then he just did not have a playoff moment. And that's where, as Giannis is finding out right now, right, the two-time MVP is kind of gaining a reputation as a regular season player. Davis needed to break through that wall. This was his chance to do it. He's had a great playoffs, but, you know, we can think back, even LeBron James, who's, you know, now at this point considered a top one, top two greatest players ever. We remember that shot he made on the Magic young, you know, in his career. He has a few other, you know, big playoff moments dotted in there, and Davis now has one. He has a game-winning shot in the West Finals. And that to me today made people pay more attention to what he's done before that, right? I mean, because he's averaging 29-11, highest plus minus of anybody in the playoffs. I wouldn't argue he's been better than LeBron, but you could make a statistical argument that he's been literally the best player in the playoffs.
What do you think, Anthony? What do you think we see the rest of the way from Anthony Davis in this series? And I just highlight that because, like you just mentioned, I think it's a great way of talking about it. In your piece, you mentioned that today this is who everybody was talking about in the NBA. They're talking about Anthony Davis. They weren't – LeBron James, really, his name wasn't brought up. I've been doing a show for almost 2 hours tonight, and I haven't talked much about LeBron James at all. What can a shot like that – what can a shot like that do for AD just the rest of this series, his confidence, his knowing that in big-time moments he's a guy that can deliver?
You know, I think it boosts his aggression, and that's when Anthony Davis typically has bad games. It's not because, man, you were just like, you were trying too hard, right? It's usually like, hey, you kind of floated around and didn't use your skill set as ferociously as you needed to. You know, I can remember games in the bubble where remember they put the Raptors in the seeding games. He took That's seven right. total shots. Mm-hmm. It was maybe his worst game. And it was like, dude, you need to be Anthony Davis. And I think probably, I'm assuming he wakes up today like more confident in that he is that tier of star that we kind of statistically always thought he was, but he proved to everyone, including himself. He's probably watching TV shows. Maybe he's listening to us right now talk about him, right? So I'd have to think it helps the confidence, and a confident Anthony Davis leads to good things for the Lakers typically.
Anthony Slater covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic, joining Lakers Talk. Anthony, we've had 24 hours since that shot, and the fact that right after he hits the shot, he says Kobe, and then, you know, you hear in the post-game interview, you hear head coach Frank Vogel said that was a Mamba shot. Does it surprise you at all, or this is just this is the legacy that Kobe Bryant has left, and it's not just in the NBA, but it's with sports figures around the world. Is this one of those moments where you just feel like, especially for the Los Angeles Lakers, they're wearing, you know, the Mamba jersey? It's just a legacy that will continue, and these players are thinking about it when they're on the court.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not necessarily like a manufactured media story where, you know, and those can happen. Those do happen in 2020 where it's like, you know, he hits the shot and all the postgame comments or questions are, hey, were you thinking about Kobe? Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't really reporters bringing it up yesterday. It was the players bringing it up. It was a video of Frank Vogel in the locker room talking about it. It was Davis, as you said, like saying Kobe's name afterwards. So this is clearly something, you know, that continues to weigh heavily months later on this team, and it's very interesting because, like, you know, that feels so long ago, the Kobe tragedy, just because of what 2020 has been since then. You know, 95 different world events have basically happened in the meantime, and you kind of almost forget that was also a 2020 event. And just the Lakers being here, having nights like last night, continuing to bring him back into the news to talk about him and his legacy, remind you of his importance. And that was just another example. And, you know, if the Lakers do complete this task with six more wins to get, I'm sure we're going to hear his name a lot more in the next few weeks.
Anthony, I want to stay on the Lakers stars here. For LeBron James, second half, much different for LeBron. Certainly was dominating in that first half, but second half, he struggled. Anything you noticed? Was Denver doing anything you thought to disrupt him? Was it LeBron just rhythm wasn't there? Anything that you noticed with LeBron James there in that second half?
I thought they went a little bit too much to like a prevent offense. And when they slow down and they try to milk the clock because they have the lead, it's almost, you know, you get out of rhythm. And then suddenly it's like they don't really get into their sets until they're seven on the shot clock. And then LeBron kind of becomes the bailout option. And sometimes he settles for jumpers, out of rhythm jumpers. And I kind of felt because of the lead they had, they kind of tried to sit on the ball a little bit too much. And I think that's what maybe jolted LeBron out of rhythm. Cause in the first half, I mean, he was on the go the whole time. What did he have, 20 in the first half? They need to, even if they're up 12 in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left, they need to operate offensively with urgency. That's kind of been a problem all year, right? Their clutch time offense is kind of one of their warts, I would say.
Anthony Slater, who covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Anthony, is there a Laker player that's producing right now that we're not spending enough time talking about? Or maybe there's a couple of them. So much of the attention always does go to the stars. How about some of these role players for the Lakers? You noticing anything specific that you want to point out or in any of your pieces that you've gone out of your way to point out?
Yeah, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shooting 44% from three in the playoffs, which I would not have predicted. Yeah. I don't think many people would have. That's huge, right? I mean, that was the
it's a big question mark coming in.
Going into the playoffs, you know, and not just 44%, but like super consistent, like every game, 2 of 5, 3 of 5. I think he's hit multiple threes in, I think I said, 9 of 12 playoff games. So that's just extra points that he's adding to. You know he's going to be open. And the thing is, he's shooting 44%, and they're going to keep leaving him open. So it's important for him to kind of carry this through the rest of the players. I think Caruso's had a really good postseason just as a sturdy role player. He's really established himself in the league as, like, a very good winning player. And you can go down the list. I mean, Dwight Howard's obviously had a great series, although that's got talked about plenty. And, you know, the other guys, too.
Final one, Anthony, as we kind of, I guess you could say, preview game three, and it's something that you've already mentioned, the chances of the Denver Nuggets winning four of the next five games. I don't think anybody's, you know, obviously expecting that, but game three is an interesting one. Either Denver gives themselves some hope or the Lakers really, for the most part, just end the series. What do you think happens tomorrow? How desperate are the Denver Nuggets? And just to play on the other side, how desperate are the Lakers to try and put Denver in a position where they feel like they got no shot at winning the series?
I'm going to predict that Denver comes out well and maybe even wins game three, because I think they've taught us in these playoffs that they're better when they're urgent and they don't lay down. Whereas when the Lakers got up even 2-1 on the Blazers and Rockets, some of those game fours, those teams kind of seemed a little bit ready to leave the bubble. I would have said, predicted the same about the Nuggets in round one when they're down 3-1 to the Jazz, you know, because that's a tough life situation they're in. And for a team down 3-1, it's more normal right now than in, you know,
under normal circumstances, sure.
Yeah, normal circumstances that you just like, okay, we're not going to win this series probably. Like, let's just go home. But the Nuggets haven't done that. You know, obviously they're 6-0 in elimination games in these playoffs. Tomorrow's not an elimination game, but it kind of is an elimination game. So I think Denver are going to come out hot. I don't know if they're going to win, but I expect them to really deliver the punch tomorrow and see how the Lakers respond.
Anthony, great stuff as always, man. Hope we can do this as the playoffs progress, but thank you for taking some time and joining the show. All right, bud?
Yep, no problem.
All right, man, thank you. That's Anthony Slater, covers the NBA and the Lakers for The Athletic. When we come back, I do want to play a couple clips here. Jeannie Buss, the governor of the Los Angeles Lakers, joined Sedano and LZ a few hours ago, and she had some comments about the players sacrificing to be in the bubble. She had some comments about how emotional she is just missing Laker fans, what Kobe would say about this Lakers team, just a few different things that came out of that great interview with George Sedano and LZ Granderson. We'll play some of that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN. All right, you guys ready for Game 3? Game 3, Los Angeles Lakers, tomorrow, taking on the Denver Nuggets. Pregame show with myself and MT. Michael Thompson starts at 4 o'clock. Tip-off with John Ireland and Michael Thompson will go at 6 o'clock. So that's what time the Lakers are playing tomorrow. Of course, as always, starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis will get you started at 5 a.m. in the morning right here on 710 ESPN. Okay, so as we wrap up the show here, I do want to spend a few minutes here playing Jeannie Buss, the governor of the Lakers. So she was on with LZ Granderson, with George Sedano on Sedano and LZ. And one of the clips I do want to play, you know, we forget about, it's so easy to be in this spot now. We're in the Western Conference Finals, and nobody's even really talking that much about what the NBA has accomplished to even get here. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine earlier, and it's, you know, you pretty much, you don't want, you got this far, and you've done such an amazing job to keep the virus outside of this bubble. You obviously want to make sure that they continue to do this through the end, just kind of see this thing through, maybe even be more strict. But one of the things we don't talk much about is how much some of these players have sacrificed, and certainly for the Lakers, what they've sacrificed to be a part of this Orlando bubble. And they're still in the mix, and obviously for this Lakers team, number 17 means everything to them. Here's Jeannie Buss talking about some of the players' sacrifices.
I feel the sacrifice that the players have made, and the coaches and all the staff that are there. They've been there, you know, over 60 days. You know, isolated away from their homes, their pets. You know, some of the family members got to come in and visit, which I think was very meaningful and helpful. So I appreciate their sacrifice and what they've done to help us try to have a championship this year. And if you look at the calendar, we're coming up on exactly a year ago that we started this season, back in October of last year with a preseason trip to China. And, you know, to think that we're still playing this season is so odd. And, you know, but I'm so proud of the players and their sacrifice and putting on some of the best basketball I've ever seen. And it's really a testament to them as professionals, their dedication to their craft.
Listen, I know it's so easy, and it's so easy to just say, the players are fine. No big deal. They're at a resort. What can they possibly complain? What can they complain about? All right, I'm not saying that they're living, you know, obviously these incredibly difficult life, and they don't have so much of the stuff right in front of them that they need. I'm not saying that. But damn, this is a sacrifice. Do you know the Lakers got in Orlando July 9th? That's when they got there, July 9th. Here we are, you know, kind of closing in on the month of September. And we're expecting the Lakers to be here through mid-October or so. That's when the latest you can go in the NBA Finals. It is a sacrifice. And the NBA, I think sometimes we got to take a step back and really just appreciate what the NBA has accomplished. The fact that they were able to pull this thing off, how they pulled it off. You know, you see in other sports, and I actually tip my hat to a lot of these other sports, even baseball, which I think a lot of analysts would say that no way baseball is going to finish their season. And here we are, by the end of this week, the baseball season's over, and then 16 teams are going to get in the postseason and see what they could do in a bubble type of format. It's damn impressive what they got done. And when I hear people talk about whether this NBA championship should have an asterisk next to it, or, you know what, this championship, it doesn't mean anything because it's COVID-19 and 4 months off and this and that, how can you not look at this year? I mentioned this before the season started. I talked about before the restart started. I talked about how whoever came out and won this year, I'm going to tip my cap to them, however they got there. And, you know, hopefully all the players were healthy and they did it from a competitive perspective. And, of course, the circumstances, there's no home court, there's no going home, you're stuck in this Orlando bubble. This is like a circumstance we've never seen before and hopefully we never have to see again. But with all that being said, if it didn't matter what team it was, I had convinced myself, and at the time, you know, obviously I was doing a daily show, and I was mentioning that whoever gets an NBA championship this year, I'm not going to remember it as a question mark. I'm just going to remember it as the year where it was so difficult to win an NBA championship, and whatever team accomplished that not only deserved it, you know, went through a hell of a lot to get there. And if it is the Los Angeles Lakers, which we know, you know, from this point on, the Lakers are going to be the favorite, And I can't tell you how much and how meaningful I think this championship would mean for Los Angeles Laker fans out there. But if it is the Lakers, think about their path this year. Think about just how difficult of a road this has been for the franchise, the players. And you guys know what I'm referring to, what I'm talking about. So aside from just COVID-19, all the other unfortunate events that have gone on, and I say all that too because there's also the basketball part of it. Being in an Orlando bubble, didn't benefit the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, really, who it should have benefited was teams like the Los Angeles Clippers, because now the Clippers don't have to play 7 games at Staples Center against the Lakers, which virtually on the road for all those games. It didn't benefit a Lakers team that worked so hard to get the number one record in the Western Conference, and then what do they have to show for it? Nothing. There's nothing to show for it, because once you got to Orlando, all that stuff didn't mean anything. You know, Michael and I would talk about that in the pregame show. We would mention, and this is something Michael would talk about, there's something about that playoff vibe. When you're at Staples Center, it's a different vibe. When you go up 2-0 and now you got to travel to the Moda Center, or you got to travel to the Pepsi Center, which is where Denver, obviously that's their home games, it takes on a different vibe. So I do feel this has been an incredibly tough road for all the teams that are in the Orlando bubble, especially the Los Angeles Lakers. And here we are, 2 games away from getting to the NBA Finals, and the Lakers obviously still in a position right now in a fantastic, fantastic position to win an NBA championship. Okay, I want to plug a couple things here as the show comes to an end. When we're done here, see what happens. We do Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. We'll do it for 2 hours. And then when this is done, I'll do a half hour on social, on the ESPN Los Angeles, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Twitch, on Periscope. I don't know, I'm just throwing out social. I don't even know if all those exist anymore. But I'll go do a half hour on all our social media platforms. And as I continue to plug a couple things here, tomorrow, it's the pregame show starting at 4 o'clock, but starting at 5 a.m. with Keyshawn Travis, Jay Will, Zubin. They'll get everything started from a Lakers perspective and Lakers coverage. Big game for the Lakers tomorrow. This could determine the series. And what I mean by that is, I think the series is already determined. I really don't think Denver's coming back, but the question mark for the Lakers now comes down to this. Do you win game 3 tomorrow and virtually end the series, or do you give Denver a little bit of hope? Anthony Slater of The Athletic said that he thinks he wouldn't be surprised if Denver wins tomorrow. Stu Lance, who was on a little bit earlier on the show, mentioned that tomorrow is an incredibly tough game because of what's at stake for the Denver Nuggets. You miss any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, all 2 hours are going to be there. As always, LA, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Always appreciate you tuning in to 710 ESPN. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.